We just appreciate him so much, and happy to have with us today, and just pray the Lord bless you, whatever time you'd like to take.
Okay. Appreciate our prayer from our brother here this morning that poured his heart out to the Lord. Many times when you find people that you know and you might run into, you kind of ask the question, how are you feeling? And sometimes we think in the natural physical sense, we say, well, I feel good, or I feel tired, or I got a few aches and pains, but well, how do you feel spiritually this morning? And I believe in my heart I feel blessed to be here. So that transcends our natural state to a level that's right above us, this way far above us. It's a place that we feel close to the Lord as we follow Him. But there are times when people experience different spiritual feelings that sometimes bring us low. And I tell you, there's a remedy for that, because of sometimes the things that we do ourselves, or even that not do, if you bring your understanding, the Lord talked with Israel in Numbers 32 and 23, reminding them that the Lord's going before them and clearing the land before their eyes of their enemies. And it's important that the Israelites were to follow the Lord, because He's going before them. And if they would follow the Lord, they'll be guiltless in all their endeavors. But the warning was laid upon them, but if you don't do it, you've sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. So there's a sense of blessing of God that we can serve God and feel the forgiveness of sins. But then there are times that we don't go along with God's way and disobey Him and follow our own basic instinct by nature. There's going to be a time, and it may not be immediate. You know, many times God's children do things a lot, and they're not aware of their ignorance of their wrongdoing. But the Lord will make it aware unto them through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a blessing to the children of God that He has given unto us. And there's going to be a time when God's going to call you to remembrance of your wrongdoings and scold you regarding your disobedience, and then your sin will find you out. But John writes here in the first chapter of his first epistle, and we all can read it, it's beginning verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You know, there are sometimes there's evidence of some God's children that deceive themselves. They're lying to their own hearts, and the truth is not in us. They're following after an untruth. But it says in verse 9, if, it's conditional, that means that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that takes conviction, that we might acknowledge the fact that we have sinned against God. God writes his laws in our hearts, places them in our mind, and we're aware of right and wrong because of the new birth. And there are many of God's children in this world going about their life with a burden of sin and not understanding fully where they might find relief. And there's many of God's children that do not even understand that there is a Christ, a Savior, that paid the sin debt fully on the cross of Calvary. But there's the gospel that brings that testimony of our Lord, the truth of the testimony of our Lord, and brings it to our attention that that's where our sins have been removed and remitted from us. But in our daily life, we have times that come that we might fall short of the glory of God, and we sin constantly. I like the pronoun in this verse that is very meaningful, because John's not including not only himself, and I believe John was already a child of God before he wrote this epistle, but it's an inclusive pronoun. If we are already in the condition, he already began the preamble to this chapter talking about not only himself but the other disciples that were in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ when Jesus was alive on this earth. But it is also talking unto the people of God that are inclusive in this we statement. If we, the people of God, confess our sins. Confessing your sins does not make you a child of God. Because if it were so, then it would be a different statement. He would not have included himself if he said, well, I'm already a child of God. And I would say this statement, if you unregenerate sinner confess your sin. No, he said, if we, and we do this on many occasions when we feel the guilt of sin and we have the understanding of Jesus Christ. So it said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and that his word is not in us. See, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And if we say we're not a sinner, then you're saying that Jesus didn't, he died in vain. So it's important to know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now there's a actual happening in the scriptures in the New Testament in Luke chapter 7. And I believe not only did it actually happen, I believe it did happen. But regardless of that, it's also an illustration unto God's people to understand the aspects of what occurred that we might understand fully the forgiveness of sins. So if you turn with me to Luke chapter 7, I'm going to move out of the way in just a little bit. I want to hear Brother Clayton. Brother Clayton's heard me more times since I've heard him. One place was up in Edison, Georgia a few weeks back. But let's look in the 36th verse of Luke 7. Now, here's a scenario. Here's something that is occurring at this time, that one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And I thought that would be a good place. If you want to dine with the Lord, that's a wonderful thing. I think this man exhibited a fruit of the Spirit that he had desired to to bring him to dinner. But here's a man that, a Pharisee, and we know all the actions of Pharisees. They got their nose so far up there, they just have to look down on everybody. Because if they consider themselves righteous in their own heart, based on their own actions that elevated them to their righteousness. And so he walked about like the rest of the Pharisees, had that aura about him that he looked down upon others and was very judgmental. But he did. The thing about it is, if you're so self-righteous that you can look down on others, there's no way you can look down on God. That's one thing this man could not do. Because we know that Brother Clayton said that he is high and lifted up. So even as righteous as you might think you are, you cannot compare to God. So there's no way possible that any creature on this earth can look down upon God. We have to look up to God. But sometimes it's important that God would bring us down so that we could look up at him in a better light. Now, if we look here at this man, his desire was that the Lord would come to eat with him at his own home, he said, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. Well, it was a popular saying that this woman was a sinner. Everybody knew it. She was the girl in town that everybody talked about. It was a woman that did not have a very great reputation in the city. In fact, she was very considered to be dirt. I mean, that's the way some people look, that they look down on others, that she was the worst of the worst. In their eyes, a sinner. But here's a sinner that did not feel the guilt of sin. Here's a sinner that had something that she felt in a better way. She felt the forgiveness of sin. And then her actions displayed it. Do your actions display the forgiveness of sin? Or do your actions display the guilt of sin? Or do your actions display the basic being just completely oblivious to your condition? Is that how you feel? That's something that God calls us to examine ourselves, but yet God even examines us, and we are compelled by God to give an account of our doings before him. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. She didn't feel guilty about her sin. She had a different feeling. She felt the unimaginable, unexplainable joy of forgiveness. And she showed it. She displayed it in an open way. And not worrying about what anybody else thought. And it's a good thing she didn't understand it, but the Lord knew what the Pharisee thought, because he knew his mind. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. The man knew her reputation. The woman didn't care what anybody else thought. Her joy was showing forth her love and appreciation of being forgiven by this man Jesus. She kissed the feet of the one who forgave her. This man, all he did was bring him in to eat. Here, let me share you some of my food, and maybe I might just keep a little bit more for myself. I don't know. But this man didn't do anything else. And I believe the Lord is going to bring something to this Pharisee's mind and make him understand some accountability of his actions. You know, the Lord sent seven letters out to the churches in Asia. And the Lord blessed them on how well some of them were doing. But there were some things that they were doing wrong. And the Lord made it sure that they would know it. And here's the Lord. He's not going to hold back on this man. Here's a man that thinks he's better than everybody. And he's looking down on this woman she's not feeling guilty about anything. And this man's feeling oblivious to the feeling of sin because he don't think he's a sinner. But now the Lord is going to speak to him. And I believe when the Lord speaks, no man spake as this man spoke. This man with authority. I believe when the Lord speaks to you, he speaks straight to your heart. And I believe the Lord is about to give this man a dose of his medicine that he stands in need of. A little bit of understanding of what sin is. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, saith, Master, say on. He recognized him as the Master. The Lord knows more about you than you know about yourself. And I'm thankful that he does. And he can bring to our attention the things we stand in need of. And if we are in error to God, he'll bring it to our attention sometime before we know it. But he's going to bring it to our understanding because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that he chastens those who he loves. And if you be without chastisement, you're not his children. You're none of his. So he's going to bring it to our attention. And he's speaking to this Pharisee. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. So somebody had 10 times the debt than the other. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Forgiveness. Now, tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And here's a wise man that understands indebtedness and creditors. And when you get a forgiven debt, you're grateful. If it's a big debt, you're much more grateful. Because Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. In other words, he is now judging matters in a righteous way instead of looking down on this woman and judging her a sinner. So he is starting to learn from the Master. And that's how we learn from the Master. He bringeth forth understanding to his children. Now, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. Here I come in your house and you didn't even give me a basin of water to wash my feet for my journeys. And here, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You didn't even provide me with water and a towel. And here's this woman giving her all. She didn't feel guilty. She felt blessed and forgiven. She's showing it. Showing her appreciation that she is already forgiven and the Lord already forgave him. But he's going to understand what he's guilty of in just a matter of time. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Her sins are forgiven, not forgiven at this point on. They were forgiven before. She didn't do anything to get forgiven off. He forgave her, and she's showing forth her love to he who forgave her. Now, that's how the Spirit of God works within our heart. For us to understand forgiveness, we must first understand guilt. And if we understand guilt, how did we come to that understanding except by the Holy Spirit? And then how can we go to him who is faithful and just to forgive us if we confess our sins without that understanding? And it's a spiritual mind that can react to those things. And that's a spiritual feeling. I believe that we feel spiritually. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Here's this man been made aware of his stinginess to the Lord. At least he gave him a chair to sit in and some food to eat, but he did not show forth much love to the Lord, because this man began to realize, now, you're a self-righteous one. This is evidence of many of God's people. But it takes the Lord to let us know that. Many times, and let me tell you what, Phariseeism is not, Primitive Baptist is not immune to Phariseeism. I've been in many places in this country, and it doesn't matter what religious denomination you are, a child of God can be prone to this. We must step back and realize that truly Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Now that's a multitude of all the number of the elect of God, of every sin that they have committed. And I tell you what, we're still alive. We're going to continue to commit sin. That sin is still forgiven. Our past sins, our present sin, and if we live another day, our future sin. You know, we're going to sin until this body is laid to rest. And they sat at meat with him and began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? They begin to wonder, how can this man forgive sins? They begin to wonder. The wonderment of God is that he, and you know, there was a time when a man was let down from a tile in the roof. He had palsy from his birth and let down on a roof before the Lord. And the Pharisees were there just to see what the Lord would say. I think they were just mainly spying on his actions. They saw that the Lord said, thy sin's forgiven thee, thy faith has made thee whole. And then the Pharisees were thinking, says, how can this, nobody can forgive sins but God? And then the Lord knew their thoughts. He said, well, what's easier, for this man to take up his bed and walk, or that his sins are forgiven? I think the greatest miracle is that the sins are forgiven. But he said, told the man, take up thy bed and walk. He carried his bed on out. That was a miracle. But the greater miracle is that his sins were forgiven, because he had a desire to be at the master's feet. And he said unto the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. I tell you what, let's go in peace with the Lord. That's where I'd rather be in peace with the Lord than be distraught about my sinful nature, my sinful condition, my burden. Let's follow the Lord in all his ways. And if you fully understand it, that he was baptized in the waters of Jordan. That's even following the Lord in baptism. Doesn't give you a home in heaven, but it sure does give an answer of a good conscience toward God. That's a burden that we can lift off of us. Confessing your sins to God, He can relieve that burden. To have that feeling of forgiveness instead of that feeling of guilt. Thank you for your attention.
Amen, Brother Paul. Thank you.
Amen, Brother. Appreciate that.
Amen. Our sins are forgiven. You believe that? Then He died for you. But it is a matter of conscience, isn't it? That we need to confess. An answer of a good conscience. To confess those sins. That we know that we come short every day. Appreciate the message that we've heard thus far. I'd like for you to turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. If we are blessed to know who Jesus is and what He's done for us, and if you can believe that, if we believe this wonderful message that Brother Paul has already brought to us this morning, then what are we to do? How are we to respond? Is there anything for us to do? Well, not for our heavenly home. We rejoice to know that Jesus has redeemed us by His blood. Heaven will be our home. But there's plenty for us to do right now, isn't there? And so as Peter ends his second epistle, and I'm just going to read the last two verses of chapter 3. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things. Peter has been telling us that this earth is going to burn up. But he also speaks of new heavens and new earth. And we have a hope that we'll be with Him in glory. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But here's Peter's parting words. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So be it. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If the Lord would bless us for the balance of the time this morning, we'll talk about growth in grace. Peter said, grow in grace. Well, what does that look like? What are we doing if we're growing in grace? Can you tell me? What is that? You know, we read that verse and we probably could quote that verse, but do we know what it entails? You know, He tells us to grow in grace. Well, He says grow in grace. He didn't say get into it. If you're blessed to know Him and to know what He's done for us, you're already in grace. And you didn't get yourself in grace. You were in grace, chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, saved by Him when He came and hanged upon the cross. We're secure in Him. But we need to grow. So what does that look like? How does that manifest itself? What are the activities that we would do if we're going to grow? He's exhorting us to do something. Well, that tells me that it's possible that we won't do it. It's possible that we may just ignore the things of the scripture and not grow. You know, when we have our children, aren't they so cute when they're so little? so cuddly, and just want to get all the sugar from them we can. It's a good thing that it doesn't run out. Maybe when they get older it does. But my point is this. As sweet and cuddly as they are, you want them to grow. And you want them to grow appropriately. And we're supposed, as God's children, we're supposed to grow, aren't we? So how do we do that? What are we doing to grow in grace? And in, you know, we're thankful that he's put us there. Now he tells us, or the word of God tells us in 2 Peter 3, the Spirit leading Peter to tell us to grow in grace and in the knowledge. Those two go hand in hand, don't they?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, growing in knowledge will help us to grow in grace. But that's what it is. That's what growing in grace is when we grow in the knowledge. And it's not just a matter of knowing, it's a matter of how to put it into practice. Because that's what brings glory to his name when we put it into practice. Right? Jesus, well, the joy will come in doing it. Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Okay, so there's a joy that we'll experience in doing these things that we will never experience until we put them into practice. But Jesus also said in Sermon on the Mount, let your light so shine. Let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The glory to our Father comes when we let that light shine. Not just keep it under a bushel, so to speak, but we let it shine. And how do you let it shine? By doing. Doing what we understand. All right? So I want to give you some thoughts this morning. And it's not a complete list. Don't have time for a complete list. Don't even know the complete list. But it's some thoughts that maybe I can stir up your mind and give you something to think about. In Psalm 119, verse 30, and Brother Paul made mention of something that, and he might have even been thinking about this verse when he was talking this morning. The entrance of thy words with an S, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Now, if we want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, first of all, I can't think of any better way than reading the words of God. We talk about the Word of God in its entirety, but we need to know the words. We need to know the words. And I'm thankful that God has promised to preserve his Word. Aren't you? Psalm 12, he says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou wilt keep them, O Lord. Thou wilt preserve them from this generation forever. God has promised to keep his words for us. Isn't that amazing? That he has, in his word, he tells us, I'm going to keep this word. Because he's going to have a people until Jesus comes again. And we're going to need this word. I mean, it's the more we grow in grace, the more we understand we need this word. These words. We need to know them. How was it that Jesus responded when he was tempted of the devil? Yeah, it is written. Now, Jesus knew all things, and he knew everything, and he knew every meaning of every scripture that was written. But the more we understand the scriptures, and the more we understand the words of God, and the more we keep it in memory, and the more we're able to be guided by it in our lives, bless your hearts, the more appropriately we can respond to temptations. And I like to point that out, that Jesus didn't just quote some scripture, he quoted appropriate scripture when he was being tempted. That's what we need to do. We need to be able to give an answer to every man that asks us the reason for the hope that's in us with meekness and fear. We need to. So growing in grace. The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. In other words, we can grow in understanding of God and his grace by learning his words that he's given us. You know, sometimes life just doesn't make sense to us. You've been there, haven't you? Sometimes things happen and we just don't understand. And you know what? Sometimes things happen and we will never understand. But that doesn't mean God is any less faithful. That doesn't mean that God is any less truthful. And so we need his promises. We need his word to help us and encourage us and to help us try to have something to hold on to when life doesn't make sense to us. Sometimes things happen. Bad things do happen to good people because we live in a fallen world. But bless your hearts, Jesus died for our sins. That's the greatest message that we have, that he has died for our sins, that he put our sins away, and that no matter what happens to us in this life, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And so whatever happens to us, we are safe in the blood of Jesus. Whatever happens. You know, some time ago, I was really and truly thinking that this nation was just quickly becoming overrun by a religion that wants to kill everybody that doesn't agree with them. And I'm not thinking today that's over. It may have been slowed down a little. It's still something that we, you know, need to be aware of. But more than that, we need to be aware of the fact that we are safe in the blood of Jesus. And if we follow him, we can and do whatever we feel like that we need to do as we live our lives, we can trust in him and hold on to him and know that when this life is over, we'll be blessed to be with him. That's our hope, that we will be blessed to be with him in heaven's pure world to sing his praises forever. And all the things that happen to us in this world will be gone. Growth in grace. We need the Word of God. Having that, because what I just said, sometimes life doesn't make sense, and so we have to walk by faith, not by sight. We do that, don't we? We need to. Now, I understand. I'm as bad as anybody else. I want those answers. You know, when I feel like I've got an impression of the heart, I want all the answers. I want it all mapped out. I want to know what's all involved here. But there's times we just have to step out on faith. That's trusting God with the consequences. Lord, you know I don't. Lord, you're able, I'm not. But if that's what you want me to do, and sometimes we put out the fleece. Sometimes we put it out again, but hopefully we get to that point where we just say, Lord, that's what we'll do. But the more we do that, see, we grow in grace, we grow in walking by faith, we grow in trusting him, we see the experiences that come to pass, we see that God has something better than we could imagine. You know, I don't care how many times we make our plans and we ask God to bless our plan, he's got something better. So when we walk by faith, we put it in his hands. And how often has he blessed you in a time of need with something far better than what you realized or what you thought could be? Walk by faith. God gives his children faith. We need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Faith, when we're living by faith, when we're walking by faith, when we're trusting God, we'll find more peace in our lives. In Romans 5, Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, the justification we have, there's a justification by blood, that Jesus died for our sins. He put our sins away. And if we're blessed to understand that and rejoice in it, then there is a peace that we have with God. When the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And there's been wars ever since. But that's not the kind of peace that the angels was talking about. What the angels was talking about is peace between God and man. That is his elect family. Because Jesus' blood put away our sins. And there's peace there. And if we understand that, if we understand that our standing before God is based upon the blood of Jesus Christ and not any goodness in us, because it's not there, then bless your hearts, there's a peace that we have. And believing that and trusting that, and as Brother Paul was talking about, and as knowing that our sins are forgiven, and we walk according to that, there's a justification by faith in embracing and believing that we're justified by the blood of Jesus. Then when we act according to that and trust it and believe in it and walk in it, bless your hearts, that our actions manifest the fact that we have been forgiven. What a blessing that is. Walking by faith, there's a peace that comes from that. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, Peter talks about add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. So if we're going to talk about growing in grace, it would be good for us to look at that passage. There's seven things there that Peter talks about that we're to add to our faith. Not one time does he say add faith. He says add to it. If we're in grace, if we're his child, if he has blessed us to know him, if he's blessed us to know what he's done for us, then we want to honor him with our life. We want to walk by faith, and we want to add to our faith. We want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he talks about add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Goes through that whole list of things. It goes from adding virtue, which, by the way, virtue is something that sinful woman that came to the Pharisee's house, that virtue she had, because that was courage. She didn't care. She wanted to worship her Lord. And if you're blessed to understand what Jesus has done for you, you shouldn't care what the world thinks. Now, I'm not saying about riding roughshod over people's feelings. I'm saying not be ashamed of Jesus. Not be ashamed to admit that he is your Savior. You need him. He's forgiven your sins. And we need to confess our sins every day because we come short. But we need to worship him and be faithful to him. And not let what the world thinks hinder us from being faithful to the Lord. Virtue, courage. She had that courage. She probably knew what those people thought of her, especially Pharisees, holier than thou. All right? Virtue. Peter gives us a list of things. And if you go through it, I don't have time to go through the whole list, but you'll notice it starts with courage. Mm-hmm. And courage comes from love. Perfect love, John would say, 1 John 4, 18? Perfect love casteth out fear. The more we're focused on how much God loves us, and the more we're trying to respond to him in love, the more courage we're going to have in serving him. If our love for the Lord has cooled off, if we're not thinking about him very much, if we're not spending much time with him, then our love. Now, thankfully, his love doesn't vary for us, thankfully. But ours does. hate to admit it, but I have to. If we get distracted, if we get so wrapped up in the things of this world, those things choke out. Godliness. It affects our heart. So, courage. Courage fueled by love. And what does it end up with? Brotherly love and charity. Loving God and loving one another. Those seven things that Peter talks about adding. We start out with the love that we need for courage. And as we add these things, and as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the more we grow in our ability to love one another and to love God. And that's what it's all about anyway. All of our service to Him is out of love for Him and gratitude and thanksgiving and reflecting the love that He's put within us. So grow in grace and in the knowledge. And those struggles that we have, you know, so much here. The peace that we have. Wednesday night, we talked about Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I'm not going to be able to quote it all. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. If we're growing in grace, then we're going to be bearing some fruit, right? His leaf shall not wither. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Don't you know that if a person is following in that way, that when the heat of this world, the storms, the drought, whatever it is that causes us to wither at times and to be parched and dry and not fruitful, bless your hearts, if we're meditating on that law day and night, and it says his delight, you know, what are you delighting in? If we're going to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there has to be some desire to know more about this word. Because if our affections are set on the things of this world, it's not going to be here. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be fruitful. And when the heat comes, he's not going to wither. And we can face the trials of this life. You see, we'll be strong. We'll be nourished. Like the tree that's well watered, we'll be continually refreshed because we're thinking about the goodness and mercy of our God. We need that, don't we? If we're going to grow. You know, a tree needs lots of water if it's going to grow. And we need that water. And His Word, His Spirit will water our soul every day and keep us refreshed in the face of trials, in the face of adversity. You know, have you ever seen someone that's been going through so much adversity in their life and yet they're strong, they're faithful, they're not negative, they're trusting God, and they might even be an encourager to you? Because they've got something that's refreshing them. It's not outward. It's inward. The inner man. That inner man is being renewed day by day. We need that. That we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And those struggles give us strength. You believe that? This is what Isaiah 40 tells us. Isaiah 40, verse 29, in the interest of time, just verse 29. He giveth power to the saint, to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. He giveth power to the thing. How does he do that? By his Spirit. And as we read his word, we gain from that. As we're walking by faith, he's faithful to us. As we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so that our conscience is purged, so that we can get up and go again. There's so much that the Lord will do for us each day. But so many of his people, I'm afraid, are neglecting the very source of their strength to face the trials of life. And when trials come, we have to find our way back to the Lord. That's tough, isn't it? Why not just stay close to him? Why not just read his word every day and pray and confess our sins every day and walk by faith every day? So when trials come, he's right there with us. Wouldn't that be far better? Because it's his strength that we need to face the trials anyway. It's not ours. We need the power of his might to face the trials. And if we're walking with him and if he's walking with us, I think Brother Paul mentioned something about the presence of the Lord being with them. That's what we need, isn't it? We need his power. We need his strength. We need his wisdom. And so much of it we can learn. You know, if we're born of the Spirit of God, then he has blessed us to know him. We have eternal life. Heaven will be our home. But there's so many more blessings to be had in this life if we avail ourselves to reading this word and growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So much more joy that we can experience every day. Those experiences give us hope. And that's right out of Romans 5. I was reading a while ago, therefore being justified by faith, Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. That's quite a sequence there. Tribulation worketh patience. In the trials of life, we're strengthened if we're holding on to the Lord. If we're looking to him. If we're not holding on to the Lord, if we're not looking to him, we're going to get awfully frustrated. We're going to get discouraged. We might even just cast aside our faith. Oh, but bless your hearts. Tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Oh, when we remember what God has done for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we remember his promises, when we remember what lies ahead, when we remember that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. As we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, bless your hearts, we have hope, don't we? That experience gives us hope. You know, the world will say, well, I need more than a hope. Well, they don't understand biblical hope.
No, they don't.
They don't understand that our hope is based upon the fact that he's put something within us that can lay hold upon eternal life. It's not just the mind thinking, I hope everything works out. That's the world's view of hope. But biblical hope is based upon the Lord Jesus Christ having saved his people from their sins, the Holy Spirit within us allowing us to agree with that and lay hold upon that. And that's our hope we hold on to. Oh, as we think about it. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. Experience hope. You know, time's gone. When we think about this, when we think about these things, hope that he's given us that helps us through the trials in this life. You know, when we think about what the Lord has called us to do, and when we're thinking about it, you know, people can get so wrapped up in the things of this world that they don't spend much time thinking about what we need to do in service to him. Because in keeping his commandments, every time we keep one of his commandments, we're saying, I love you, Lord. Now, isn't that what he said? If you love me, keep my commandments. So when we keep his commandments, we're saying, I love you. We need that purpose in our life. That he died for us, he has saved us, then I want my life to be to his glory. We need that purpose. Because it helps us to have more passion in what we do. God had mercy upon us. And it was solely by his grace that he has saved us from our sins. He didn't choose us for anything in us. Because he chose a people in Christ before we had our being. Before we've ever done anything. We were in him. And the Lord knew us individually, right? 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows us individually, and he's known us from before the foundation of the world. And evidently, some of his people haven't yet been born. You know, just by logic, Jesus can't come back until all of his people have their being. Evidently, I'm just thinking about this. You know, I don't know how long it'll be after all of his people are conceived and have their being. I don't know. He may wait another 10,000 years. I don't know. But just the pure logic of the fact that he knows them that are his. He has shed his precious blood to redeem them from their sins. He's going to raise us from the dead or change those that are alive and remain. But they're all going to have their being before he comes again. My point is this. Just keeping in memory all that the Lord has done for us. And it's not that he's just done it and stopped. He's continuing to do for us every day. Has he blessed you today? Did he bless you yesterday? Did he bless you the day before? I think I see a pattern. Do you think he'll bless us tomorrow?
Absolutely.
Yes. Because he's that good. We're not, but he is. And we're the happy recipients of his grace. May God help us to keep that in memory. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, you know, well, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you've received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. There is a salvation in remembering the things of God. Not a salvation that'll take you to heaven, but a salvation that'll save you right now from the trials and the temptations and the heartaches and the troubles in this life. It'll save us. It'll have that saving influence upon us to lay hold upon the promises of God, to lay hold of what we understand about what Jesus has done for us, to lay hold upon the security that we have in the blood of Jesus, that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. It'll save you from despair. It'll save you from ignorance. It'll save you from thinking things that's not right and not according to the Word of God. We find more peace, like we said earlier, we find more peace in our life when we know that we're living according to what he's taught us and we're trying to do the best we can and we're relying upon him for wisdom and strength to do His will. Because oftentimes we try to do our will, and it's not according to God's word, and we find frustration. And we find anything but peace sometimes. Oh, but may we grow in grace. Think about what that means. Think about what God's given us that we can do to help us have a more joyful, a more meaningful, a more beneficial life to others. See, that's a big part of life, is helping others, isn't it? Everything Jesus did when he came to this world, yes, it was the Father's will, but it was for somebody else. We're the happy recipients of it. And we're supposed to do like he did. We're supposed to live in a way that will be a blessing to others. And when we do that, we're more like Jesus. And when we do that, we give glory to God. Oh, there's so much we could say about this, but we'll let that suffice. But bless your hearts, remember, he's called us, blessed us to know him, blessed us to know what he's done for us. So now let's respond to him. Let's grow in grace. I know you have, but let's keep growing. Keep growing in grace and in the knowledge. There's plenty more for us to learn. There's plenty more for us to know. There's plenty more for us to rejoice in till he comes again. May God bless you, is our prayer.
Now, some of the doors of the church, there's one more here, the light of the wall.